This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. Today, we're going to take a look at estate planning and wills. Not topics that we always want to think about because there's a certain element of doom and gloom to it, but it is essential to anyone's personal finance, not just for your life, but for the lives of the people that you care about. There are multiple elements to this and one of them is storage. Now, to talk about this and explore this, I have in the studio with me Sheila Da Costa, Director of MWD Wills Depository, Sandrine Brahat. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Roshan.
So, Sheila, when we talk about wills and estate planning, before we get into storage and things like that, let's talk about some of the essential elements to make sure that we are doing estate planning correctly.
It's always about responsibility. Earlier on when you opened, you talked about doom and gloom. Actually, one should not look at the preparation of wills or estate planning as a doom and gloom thing. It actually is about life. If you can prepare yourself for what will come inevitably at the end of your life, once you've planned it, you can then store it away and get on with your life. So it's not doom and gloom. It's planning to make sure that the rest of your life is easy. So we are talking, do your will and get on with your life. Don't do your will and say, oh, I'm going to cease to exist. Do your will, do the estate planning, and then move on with your life. Go and do everything that you want. That is our philosophy, life.
So when it comes to personal finances, some of the elements that always get postponed or we don't want to think about, one is insurance because you don't want to think about those things.
Yes.
And the other one is wills and estate planning because, I'm still very young. You know, that element comes to mind. Or even elder people, no one wants to talk about this. But it's essential because there are lots of, we've heard horror stories about how inheritance gets stuck because there's no clear will. What are some of the most important things to think about when it comes to estate planning or writing a will?
When you do a will, you actually, what happens at that point is that you take stock of your life and what you possess. For the 20-somethings to tell me that they have nothing, you have a car, which is totally, you can leave it to someone by will. You have a bank account. You have things, chattels, things that, you know, you have an expensive handbag, some jewelry. Everybody has something. We do not have to think about having a house or apartment. It does not have to be that. It could be, there are many types of things that you can leave. Even who you want to look after, your cat can be something that you might want someone to do rather than the other person. Let's say, for instance, yes.
Yeah, sometimes we downplay the assets that we have and we think at, and we look at people who have lots of assets, maybe the rich, who are like, oh, they need to work on estate planning because they've got more to deal with. But any amount of assets can be written in a will.
Yes, it can be given away by will, and it does not have to, because if you don't have a will, it will go in the way that is by law. So, you know, it could be shared by parents, by spouse, by children, and they will kind of look for descendants if you don't have children, up to, I think, great-grandparents and their descendants. So if you feel that you don't have anyone, it is even better to have a will, because if you don't have any beneficiaries, don't have any ancestors or descendants where they can search, it will end up going to the government under the unclaimed monies. And I think they have quite a lot of money, a few billion, which is unclaimed. And even property, sometimes you might see abandoned properties, and sometimes the issue about, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying that sometimes the issue about abandoned properties is they cannot find the beneficiaries.
So I guess the next question here, right, is what is a valid will? Because, you know, we see in the movies, right, sometimes they have a napkin, I give everything to you, then they sign. But when it comes to real life, What makes a will official?
Okay, you're talking now about elements of the will. Actually, I think the thing about most people think they need to go and see a will writer, a lawyer. Obviously, it is best if the person is qualified to write a will, yes. But let's say you really need to write one and it's urgent, you can actually even write it by hand. It has to be written, you sign it, you have two witnesses. It's valid. I mean, provided everything in it is clear and certain. You know, you can't just wing something and say, you know. But what I'm trying to say is basically, if it has certainty of subject matter, certainty of who the person is, you identify yourself and who you're giving it to is properly identified, and you have two witnesses who saw you sign it, it's a valid will.
So that's the very bare minimum, right?
Yes, that's very bare. Although I would not advise writing on a tissue paper, a napkin, but it's not to say that it's not valid if it covers all the elements, yes.
Yeah, in an emergency or in a dire situation, I guess.
Actually, wartime, we're talking about more wartime and, you know, building going to collapse on you and you're writing one. Yes, I think, I mean, those are what you call funny stories, but yeah. Yes, yeah.
But I guess what I'm trying to set the tone here is that it's not as complicated as we think it is.
No,
that
it's not.
The hurdle is essentially two witnesses, write it down, get it signed. Mm. But there are things that you can do to make sure that your will is, I guess, more secure.
Yes.
Because, you know, we hear these stories about, let's take the Genting family, for example. We read in the papers about disputes over wills. And, this will is real and this will isn't real. Now, your business does storage essentially for wills, right? And
yes,
this is
that's right.
One element of, I guess, making the will more secure.
The reason why we started this business is because we have realized that wills, a lot of people have wills. In the end, when they actually pass away, nobody can find it. You put it in the newspaper and who reads it? They will advertise on maybe some of the lawyers' websites whether XYZ has passed away. Can anyone who has written the will please come forward? Because the family members will know, because I think like if the father passes away, the father would have said, I have written a will. Not necessarily they will show it to the children, but they will say that they've written a will. So when he actually does pass on, and that could be another 20 years' time, he passes on and they'll say, oh, I remember he had a will, but they don't know where he kept it. They might have moved house, they might have, put it in somewhere where people don't know. And without a will, to have a proper will, you also need to list down your property. Sometimes you have overseas property, and sometimes there's even secret property. Yeah? I have seen people who have bought properties and said, I don't want my spouse to know at the moment. And next thing you know, they go out, they meet with an accident, and nobody knows that they had this property. This is where it will all end up with the government, and the house will go into disrepair and things like that. Yes.
Now, Sheila, we're going to talk about what are the elements of a perfect will in just a little bit. I'm speaking to Sheila DaCosta, Director of MWD Wills Depository, Sundaram Bharat. You're tuned in to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm speaking to Sheila DaCosta, Director of MWD Wills Depository, Sundaram Bharat. And Sheila, let's talk about what makes a great will. So we've talked about the bare essentials, which is two witnesses, signed, written, and we've talked about storing it. When we write our wills or do estate planning, how specific do we have to be? Can I simply write that all my assets go to this particular person, or do I have to define these assets?
There's nothing wrong in saying I leave all my property wheresoever and whensoever situated, which means it'll cover overseas, everywhere, or all kinds of property, because movable things are property as well as land, you know, things like that. But the thing is, if you write your will when you are 25 and you pass on at 80, there would have been a lot of things that you would have accumulated along the way. And it is always good in terms of estate planning or even financial planning to take stock of what you have. It's a good exercise for yourself, for your own self to take stock. Oh, I've got 3 bank accounts. Or if you see I've got 5 bank accounts, oh, maybe it's time to close some and consolidate. That is good for your own taking stock. And, oh, I've got too many pieces of land, one in Terengganu, one in Johor. Maybe I'll just buy all in KL. So you do take stock when you notice, because sometimes you don't realise and sometimes you inherit things as well. So it's good to put it down in a piece of paper for yourself and maybe put it as a codicil, which is an addendum to your will, as you go through life, if you know what I mean. You can change your a new will supersede an old will, but it's always good every now and again to take stock of your what you have, just as you take stock of everything else, of what you own. One should do that as well. Sometimes you have a good handbag or good piece, a shoe that somebody coveted and you might want to give it to that particular friend. You know, it's good to state. And also you got to remember, if you're single when you made your will, you have to make a new one on marriage, because it will not be valid, because it would have been had different people benefiting. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I guess, best practices here. Mm. How many times in my life should I be writing a will? Or what are the milestones where I should be like, oh, okay, I need to rewrite my will or adjust it?
From a personal perspective, I have written wills for myself. I have done since I was very young. So before I got married, and there was one. And then after I got married, I did another one, because it also makes you take stock of stuff like EPF, nomination, because that's when you will think about those things that, oh, I may need to change my EPF nomination, because before you get married, it's your mom, generally, I would say, or your parents. Or if you don't have parents, then you would have brother and sister. When you get married, it changes. It would be your wife. Then maybe later on, it may be children. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just to take stock. I'm not telling you that you should do it that way, but it's just to take stock, time to think, or even your insurance, you know, things like that. Yes.
So I guess significant milestones are a good time to think about that.
And for myself personally, every time, if my husband and I fly together, we have a relook.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Or if I'm going away by myself, I relook. That's just me. But I'm just telling you just to take stock on different milestones. Because obviously, if husband and wife pass on together, if you left it all to him, it needs to be thought of. And if everybody goes off together, you may want to think of that as well. So I take stock of it every time I travel, really. Yes.
Okay, that's sobering to think about, but also, I guess, a good practice to think about. So let's say I'm starting to write a will right now. Do you have any guidelines as to how I should start this? Should I just start listing down the things I have and who I want to give them to? Or is there a catch-all will I can write first?
There are always catch-all. I think there are always catch-all wills, and there are many simple ones, which I think there are many websites which they do for you. I think a lot of places do it for you. But it's always a more prudent person. As I say, for yourself personally, you should list it down. So if someone were to ask what they should do, they want to write a will, one of the first things we should ask them, can you go back and sit and think who you want to, or who you trust enough to execute it for you? Somebody's going to be in your shoes to distribute the property. It has to be someone you can trust. And thinking about those things can take you some time. Because you're like, okay, shall I choose my brother? No, not that one because he lives overseas. Or should I choose my mom? But oh, she's maybe too elderly. So there's a lot of, the person who steps into, who will be your executor will be essentially be stepping into your shoes and distributing it in how you want it. So first of all, you got to get yourself someone, an executor. Then you have to think about all the people who you want to benefit. Usually it's children, but who knows, you know, you might have some people would like to give it to the charity, to the church, to the temple, to the mosque. You might want to leave a little bit of a legacy. Some of them, yes, most of them will say, oh, I want to leave it to this charity. So they like to put that in. Or to a friend who liked a particular handbag, I would like to give it to that person. Things like that.
Right. So there's nothing really too small either.
Yes.
If it's a pair of shoes, these nice pair of sneakers I bought that I knew someone likes, these are things that I can account for in that will. So thinking about who the beneficiaries are, making sure you have an executor in mind, making sure that you have got two witnesses, you've written it down and you've signed it. Am I missing anything?
Yes. A person who benefits should not be the person signing as your witness.
So avoid conflict of interest.
Yes, because then they would, we don't want them to say that, there was an influence. So I'm not saying that everybody leaves a bag or shoe, but there are many wills where, people who have got grandchildren, they want specific jewelry to be left to certain people. And actually, if you don't state that, and if it goes to one person and you say, oh, you know, the deceased promised me this, you may find that people may not want to give it to you. You know, it's harder you won't be able to get it. Yes.
So long story short, write a will.
Yes, long story short.
So now let's talk about depositories.
Yes.
What role do you play in all of this?
There are many... our role is mainly for you to get your will written and make sure you can keep it in a safe place. What we have done is open a really affordable depository so that everybody, our target is every man, everybody in Malaysia, rather than, oh, you need how much value in assets or rather. What your net worth is, then we are interested in you. No, we are looking at every man because our prices are low. It starts from like essentially 8 ringgit and 33 cents for just to register. So we have three kinds of products, which is you register your will, meaning you just tell us where you've kept your will. Let's say you keep it in the studio under that drawer. You register with us. Yes, I've kept it here. Or I've kept it at home, or I've kept it with some other trust company. Even that we accept. It's what we are hoping to do is we are building up to become like a national register in that sense so that we will be the go-to place to search for your will. So you don't even have to keep your will with us. You just need to tell us where your will is. And when something happens, we will then... refer those people to where the will would be kept. Secondly, is we have premium storage. You can keep your will with us. And the other one is sealed storage, which means you put your will in an envelope and then we just keep it. Obviously, we won't open it, so we don't know if the will is it is a will or what, but we take your word for it that it is a will. And we do not compete with any will writers or lawyers because we do not write wills.
So you're playing a role in the estate planning ecosystem, essentially.
Yes,
it's like
that's
at least
right.
People can go to you and be like, oh, this is where the will is.
Even if you've kept it at some other will place, be it lawyers, will writers, or other will writing companies, you can still register with us. Yes.
All right. And on that note, Sheila, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Roshan.
I was speaking to Sheila DaCosta, director of MWD Wills Depositories in Rembrandt Heights. This was Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next, the 10 a.m. news bulletin, and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanisan, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.